one of these our newsletter and one of these our prayer card and begin praying for the Shenandoah Ranch and the Shenandoah Haven, ministry to troubled young men and young ladies in our 30th plus year now, and trying to extend hope through the Lord Jesus Christ to some hurting young people all across America. And we're taking young people right now from 13 different states in both of the homes. The homes are on two different pieces of property, about 30 minutes apart from each other, all under the ministry of Shenandoah Baptist Church. And we thank the Lord for what He's done for over 30 years now in the lives of young people. And the Bible says, "A thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." That's the devil's job. But Christ has come that He might give life and give it more abundantly. Boy, He's done a blinding and a binding job on a lot of young lives today. But I'm glad that, Brother Joe, the Lord is still able to save, and Christ is still the answer. And this book still works. And I believe with all my heart that a young man or a young woman can cleanse his way by taking heed according to Thy Word. Amen. And it's through the Word of God that we realize we're sinners in need of the Savior. It's through the Word of God that we realize that Jesus has paid it all. Amen. And we thank the Lord for the simplicity of salvation. Amen. And I thank the Lord for the privilege to be here in this place today. Most of our young people come to us from broken homes. We have at presently, however, we have some young people right out of pastor's homes. We have two young men whose dad's a pastor, and have a young lady whose dad's a pastor, and have a young lady whose dad's a Christian school administrator, and one who's a missionary, who's an evangelist, rather's daughter as well. So we have them out of Christian homes as well. So the devil's after your children and my children. He's after our grandchildren. I say that our children are grown now. Maybe most of yours are grown. But God helping us, we want to point our children to the Lord at an early age and live consistently in front of them. And I pray that God would help us realize the importance of reaching our children while they're young. How many of you have been saved for 30 years or more? Hold your hands up. I had a couple of precious ladies tell me they're in their 90s as well. They shared in Ms. Gilpatrick's illustration. They're here today. What a testimony, though. I'm glad that you're saved and know the Lord. And maybe there might be some here that do not know Him today as your Savior. It has already been mentioned. I pray this will be the day that you'll realize your need of Christ as your Savior. I want you to open your Bible to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And the Lord has sort of changed the direction on the message for this morning that I had for this hour, but I have preached enough messages in my life that I wanted to preach that God wasn't in them, and I don't want to do that anymore, okay? So I'm going to try to preach what He wants me to preach. And how many of you will say, "I'll pray for you, preacher"? I really will. I pray that God's Word will, amen, God's Word will have free course and accomplish what needs to be accomplished. You know, Brother Joe, if one person or one family today gets the help that God wants to give them, it'd be worth driving from Cleveland, Tennessee and back. It really will. We'll leave here later on this week. We'll drive to Bowling Green, Kentucky. That's, if you don't know it, that's a long way from here. And we'll preach just one night there and then drive over to West Virginia, rather, and preach next Sunday in West Virginia. But if God can help just one family or one individual at the places we go, that makes it worth it all. And I trust the Lord will be in this today. I'm trying to follow His leadership about this message, and you pray for me that God will bless and honor His Word. The Bible says in Psalm 127, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, and happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall be the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Father, I pray that you'd bless the reading and the preaching of thy word today. And Lord, we do not apologize. Maybe this morning some would wonder why we'd bring a message like this, but we believe this is what, through thy Holy Spirit, you've led us to preach. And I pray, dear Father, that you would extend the help that's needed, if just a family or two, or who knows, three or four, or an individual or two or three or four could get the help that they need from God today, it would be worth it all for your glory and for your honor. I pray for Brother Shelton. I pray, Lord, for the ministry here at East Lyle Avenue Baptist Church. May it continue, Lord, to be faithful with the Word of God, preaching, and may these precious saints of God who are part of this body of this local body of believers, this local church, may they continue to live steadfastly and be exemplary of the grace of God in their life that's been shed abroad upon their hearts through your love and your grace and mercy. And may we continue, Lord, to hear of great and mighty things being accomplished for your glory and your honor here in the days ahead till we see Christ. And we realize, Lord, that could be at any time, at any moment. May we be found faithful till you come. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. The Christian home is something that really is dear to my heart. I mentioned in the Sunday school hour, I had a godly mom and dad. I thank God for the godly heritage I had. And then the Lord blessed Ruth and I with five children, and we're thankful that all of them are saved and serving the Lord today. In fact, we have the unusual joy of sitting under our son, who's now our pastor. I didn't know I'd ever live long enough, or that would even be the will of God for that to happen. But I love it. Amen. I do. And I kind of feel like I know a little bit about how my mom and dad must have felt. Ruth and I have talked about that. I had the joy of being their pastor the last 10 years of their life. But I want to speak this morning about the Christian home and the need of trying to build a home that will honor Christ. Christians' homes don't just happen. They're built. And they say that marriages are made in heaven, but I want to say this, they have to be worked on here on earth. Christian homes don't just happen. They have to be worked at. Children have always been precious to the Lord. We won't take the time to turn there, but in Mark's gospel, in Mark chapter 10, they brought children unto the Lord, and the disciples rebuked the crowd there that was bringing these children to the Lord. He said, wait a minute, Christ did. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Children have always been important to Christ. Amen. And children's church is going on right now probably, Brother Joe, while we're meeting in here, and what's going on there is just as important as what's going on here. And children, they always counted with Christ. And children, the Bible says in the passage this morning, are a heritage of the Lord. That means they're on loan to us from Him. We're going to have them a short while. It's important for us to point them to the Lord and to live consistently and in front of them. And children need to be dedicated and raised up for God to the Lord at a very young age. Proverbs 22:6. Tells us the necessity. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, and not depart from it. How important it is for us to point our children to the Lord. The Bible says here three times that it uses the word vain. Three different times in two verses. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. How many of you had the privilege of having a godly mother? Hold your hand up. I had a godly mother, a godly dad. But listen to me. Whether we had a godly mom or dad or not, I'm glad that we can have a heavenly father. Amen. I think it was Brother Sexton that said, everybody needs three homes. They need a Christian home. That's first. Then they need a church home. If you're not a member of this church or a good Bible-believing church, I heartily recommend you to raise your children in a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. You need a Christian home, and you need a church home, and then you need a heavenly home. Amen. Need to know for certain, 100% certain, that you're heaven bound.
Amen.
These things that I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. How many of you are saved and you know you're saved by the grace of God? So you have a Christian home, a church home, and a heavenly home. But it is vain for you to labor in vain, the Bible says, without the Lord in building the Christian home. Everything is vain without God. Everything depends upon the blessings of God. A strong Christian family certainly is one of life's greatest joys. And in looking back now, retrospectively, we appreciate our children more now than ever before. I thank God for what He did in their life and what He's doing in their life. But no relationship ever can be what God wants it to be without the Lord being the foundation of it. No marriage can ever be what the Lord would have it to be without God being the foundation of it. Except the blessings of the Lord being upon it, it's all in vain. No home can ever be built properly without the Lord's blessing upon it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's the reason. It's a personal conviction of mine from Scripture, I believe, that I'm not to marry an unbeliever to a believer. I'll counsel them when they come to me and ask if they can be married, Brother Joe, but I want to make sure that we're putting two together that are saved. It's important that you not be unequally yoked together. Occasionally the Lord is gracious and He saves one of these maybe later in their marriage, and that's wonderful, but we want to be sure that the Lord is first in both of their lives. They know Him as their Savior. And the Christian home, so important. I look across the room today, and I know that most of us have raised our children. However, they're precious young couples here today, and some that have not gotten married yet, that need to know how important it is to find the right mate and a Christian mate, and to start their home on the right track. I never shall forget, years ago, I was trying to preach a message on the home, and my wife and three of our five children were seated about right here where this dear lady is, right here. And I saw something happening that disturbed me quite a bit while I was preaching on children obeying their parents in the Lord, for this is right. I noticed our middle daughter, who's always been our strong-willed child. How many of you have and can relate to that? She was inching her way down the pew away from her mother while I'm up here preaching on the home. This is going on, and I'm watching it and trying to keep my attention on what I'm preaching. And I saw Ruth say to her, "You better come here right now." Julie took about two steps farther this way, Carla, just daring her. And as a mother can do, the elasticity of her arm just expanded, and she reached down there and she got a hold of Julie and she began to drag her, and Julie was pulling the other way, and it was seesawing back and forth. You say, does that really? It did happen while I was preaching on the home. Brother Joe, I might as well shut the Bible and said good night or goodbye to everybody. But the match went on. Finally, you know who won? Mama won. In fact, I want to tell you what she said. She said, If you don't come here right now, I'm going to take you out and I'm going to wear you out. How many of you know what that means? And Julie kept pulling the other direction. I mean, it was a tug of war. Finally, Ruth saw she was not going to win this without taking her out and giving her what she had earned. And she started out of the aisle with her, and so help me, as she came out of the aisle with her right here, Julie caught on right here. And this is going on back and forth and back and forth. And people have completely quit listening to Brother Steve, and they're watching this. And finally, Ruth won the match. And as she started down the aisle to take her out to the nursery, Julie, I never will forget it, louder than I was preaching, said, "Mama, please don't beat me." I'm telling you, some strange things can happen to preachers, can't they, Brother Joe? She got more spankings, Brother Joe, than all five of our children got put together. But I thank the Lord today that she loves the Lord, and she and her husband are serving the Lord. They're teaching the young people's class. She's a church secretary and bookkeeper. She's expecting twins, by the way, just any time. She already has one. What goes around comes around. And I'm thanking the Lord that though she had a strong will, we had to stay right on top of her until that will was broken. You may not relate to that or identify with that at all, but you know, children are all different. If you had 25 of them, every one of them would be different. But it's, except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain that build it. Strong homes cannot be built without Christ being the foundation of them. I've got to hurry. Matthew chapter 7 talks about two different types of houses being built, one on the rock and one on the sand, and you know the story as well as I. They were built on the wrong, one of them was built on the wrong foundations. They both incurred the rain and the winds and the storms. One stood and the other failed. We've all sang about that. We've all experienced that. We've been there, done there, so to speak. But my friend, one will always fail if it is not built on the right foundation. The foundation of the family. If the foundation is faulty, the family is going to be faulty. There's probably no more important part of a house than the foundation of the house. I'm talking about a building now. If the foundation's not put in properly, if there's something wrong underneath the house or in the foundation or in the footing or in the basement, then regardless of what the house looks like, eventually the foundation, the faulty foundation, is going to cause problems everywhere else. Now listen to me, same thing's true in the family. Exactly the same. Some of the sad words, Matthew, that we was going to take you to, but time forbids us to do, sad words, great was the fall of it. Talking about the one whose foundation was on the sand. And this is the sad epitaph on many, many homes today. Great was the fall of it. America's in trouble today. Our country's in trouble today, Brother Joe, because many homes are in trouble today. And many churches are in trouble today because many homes are in trouble today. And it's all because they have not the proper foundation. I want to say this today, and I don't apologize for saying it. If I lived in this area, I don't know much about Tampa. There may be a few other good churches, but I know one thing. From what I've seen and heard already in your pastor and in the music, I would want my children to be raised in a church like this so that they could be taught right to begin with and they could be pointed to the Savior and the right foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just believe with all my heart, folks, we've got to get back to the local church. We've got to get back to raising our children according to the Bible. You cannot believe what's being promoted and taught across the country today. You're not going to improve on God's way. The foundation's got to be the Bible. The local church. You say, oh, preacher, that's old-timey. That's outdated. Guilty as charged. That's old-timey. But I'm going to tell you, it's not outdated. You don't outdate the Word of God. Children who love the Lord don't just happen to love the Lord. Families that endure the storm don't just happen to endure the storm. Their foundation is right. If you're raising your children godly in a godly family and in a godly church, then you're putting the right foundation under them. God help us to understand how important the foundation of the home is. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, the Bible says. The foundation of materialism will never withstand the storms today that face the family. The foundation of sexual pleasures will never endure the adversity that's on the family today. The foundation of an undisciplined lifestyle, an inconsistent lifestyle on the part of parents will never endure the storm that faces the church today and the home today. We must live consistently in front of our children. It is important not just what you say, but how you live. People are looking at your life and they're reading your life page by page each day. I read this morning and thought about this. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. And there are little ears that take in every word you say. And there are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the one day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol, and you're the wisest of the wise. And in his little mind about you, no suspicions ever arise. He believes in you devoutly, and he holds all that you say and do. And he will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. Oh, it sometimes makes you shudder when you hear your boy repeat some careless phrase you've uttered in the language of the street. And it sets my heart to grieving when some little fault I see, and I know beyond all doubting that he picked it up from me. There's a wide-eyed little fella who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. To whom much is given, much is required. I thank God that even though my dad was not a preacher, Brother Joe, he was a godly Christian. He was an electrician, and he traveled a lot, and I watched for years. He traveled and went into cable splicing, high-voltage lead cable, and I watched his Bible go in his suitcase as Mom would pack his suitcase. And I've watched the pastor call on him when he had come back and say just extemporaneously, "Brother Butch, would you come and bring the lesson this morning?" He's called him Brother Butch. I don't know where he got that name. His name was Burnish, but his name was Butch to the pastor. And I seen Dad at a minute's notice get up and bring a lesson. You know why? He taught out of the overflow of his personal walk with God. My dad said, "God never called me to preach, but I sure wished he had of." You know, the Bible says, let's be always ready to give an answer to those that ask of the hope that's within us. God help us realize we're making an impression, need to make the right impression on people, our children, every day. Secondly, not only do we need the right foundation, but strong homes cannot be built without strong churches. Strong churches. Strong foundations is God's plan, and strong churches is God's protection for the church, or for the home. In 1900, one out of 12 marriages ended in divorce. Listen, in 1912, one out of 8 marriages ended in divorce. In 1970, one out of 4 marriages ended in divorce. In 1990, one out of 2 marriages ended in divorce. Now, in the 2000s, for every one marriage that makes it, 2 fail. Imagine this. No longer is divorce the exception of the rule. Divorce is expected today. And that's why we're having problems in our churches, and that's why we're having problems in our nation. And Brother Joe, that's one reason we need Christian homes and children's homes. And I'm not here to promote or to sound the trumpet, but that's one reason that we need to continue to do what we're doing with troubled young people. I want to see not just 15 or 18, I want to see 35 or 40 at both homes or more, 50 or 60 at both homes. I want to see that continue to happen because the need is so great everywhere we go. Brother Roloff used to say, help us build some homes like these or build some yourself, because every city and almost every church sooner or later is going to need the help that many local churches, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, but many local churches cannot give 24 hours a day or 7 days a week devotion to one particular young man or one particular young lady. And there needs to be a place. Thank God for the Lord raising up what he has done, and I'm glad just to be a small part of it. I want to continue to be faithful. The plan for the devil is to break up every home he can, because he's the author of every destructive device he can. Satan always aims his focus at the home. I'm going to say something now that maybe will bother somebody here today, but somebody's going to say, "Preacher, I'm just not sure about that." Divorce rates would drop instantly today if people would realize that God's plan for the home is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He cannot be the sidetrack. Are you listening this morning? He's got to be the main track. Amen. He cannot be an afterthought. He's got to be the main thought. Jesus Christ. is the answer to alcoholism. Jesus Christ is the answer to pornography. Jesus Christ is the answer to impurity. Jesus Christ is the answer to unfaithfulness. I mean, if he was Lord over all, we would start again from that foundation and build a foundation that could withstand the adversity and the winds and the adversity of the world. He must be the main track. If God's protection plan was carried out, that is, they become involved in a good church like this church, and they found a place to serve God and to raise their children in a good local church, I'm telling you, the divorce rates would go down, not up. But you know what happens? The devil gets into the home once maybe the home starts out right on the right foundation, and people become, the devil begins to take a critical spirit on part of one of the two mates, and sooner or later they begin to pick at the things about the church that they maybe don't agree with, or the pastor that they don't agree with, or somebody singing or some program or something, and they miss one service, and watch this, then they miss two services, and then if you're not careful, as time goes on, they'll get very lax, and the preacher will come, and maybe others will come, and people get offended that they come, you know, and before you know it, the family out of church completely. Or they start hopping around from church to church trying to find a perfect church. I've never found one yet. They're made up of imperfect people. They have an imperfect pastor. Never found a perfect pastor. He's a good one, but I guarantee you, he's got faults just like me and just like you. But you better find a place to raise your family under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It is God's protection plan for the family, the local church. I hope you understand that this morning. That's the importance of the protection of the family. It's the local church. You need a pastor to be able to come to. Say, Brother Joe, can you help me with my daughter or with my son? Or can you help me with my husband or with my wife? The man of God will take the Word of God and show you the answer is still in the Word of God. The answer is not found in becoming unfaithful to the local church or being disloyal to a ministry or trying to pick a pastor apart, a ministry apart. You ought to realize, hey, we're going to find a place, we're going to do our very best for God, and we're going to call that our home church, and we're going to call him our pastor, and we're going to pray for one another, and it's not a perfect church. It wasn't perfect when I got here, and it's not going to be perfect when I leave, but that's my church, and that's my pastor, and I'm going to do my best for God right there. Amen. I'm telling you, friends, you need the local church. You need it for your family. You do. You need it for your own self. God help us to realize the importance of the local church. And thirdly, you need the to build a strong home. You cannot build it without the right philosophy. The right philosophy. I have a time, you know, I feel pressed to say this, but the Bible has the right philosophy for the home. In Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6, the biblical philosophy for every home is given in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm not telling a lot of you anything you haven't heard, but I'm going to tell you the men's responsibility. Brother, if you don't mind, stand up real quick, okay? I don't know your name even. I'm not here to embarrass you. But the Lord put the greatest responsibility on this man. Turn around here. Right here. Put the greatest responsibility on this man right here, because he is the leader of his home. Is this your wife?
Yes.
He's to love this woman as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm gonna tell you, if he's doing his job, she'll do her job. Her job is to submit to his leadership and direction as a loving husband and as a consistent father. I'm not embarrassing you, am I? I'm using his illustrations more than I don't know you. If I'm embarrassing you, I hope I'm not. I wouldn't do that for anything, but you're serving as an illustration. And she's to submit. Is this your daughter? Amen. Now your responsibility, go ahead and stand. Stay up there. You're the leader. Your responsibility, how about you? Is this your mom and dad? Oh, good. I'm right on track. Y'all's responsibility is to obey your parents and to honor them in everything. That's what the Bible says. That's the Bible, thank you. That's the Bible plan. Now, for raising a Christian, or for building a Christian home. Now, when you, I'm not trying to be mean to y'all, but when y'all decided you don't need to listen to mama and you don't need to listen to dad and you're going to do what you want to do, I'm going to tell you what you've just done. You've stepped out from under the umbrella of protection of authority that God has placed in your family. And when you, sister, decide you're not going to obey him, you're going to have your way regardless of what he tells you to, you've just stepped outside of the protection that God's given you. And brother, when you've decided that you're not going to love her the way you should love her, you have just went cross-grain with what the Bible's told you to do. And I tell you what it's going to do. It's going to affect her, and it's going to affect them. See how important? I'm just getting it down here where we live, where the rubber meets the road. Amen. I've come to do my own amen, and if I have to now, if you don't back me up this morning. But now, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're faithful, and you love the Lord, and you love your wife, and you in love discipline these children, hey, she's not going to have any problem submitting to a husband like that. And when you do your job, that makes them want to do their job. And the sweetest thing in the world, the closest thing, God help me, the closest thing to heaven on earth, are you listening, is a Christian home. That's the closest thing to heaven on earth, a Christian home. And I'm going to tell you the closest thing, I'm not being ugly, to hell on earth is a home that is not built on the right foundation. When the children are going a different way from the parents, and the wife is going a different way from the husband, and it's a wreck, and the devil is the author of all that kind of thing. And the ramifications of that and all that happens because of that is so far-reaching. It won't just affect this generation. It'll affect your children and your grandchildren. That passage I read in Psalm 128 talked about children's children. Man, we think our children are great, but Brother Dan, what about those children's children? Aren't they special? We got 13 of them. I carry them around in my Bible. I've got another one here if you want to see it after service. Look at here. He was born with a bilateral cleft palate and a liver disease. He was not anything really pretty to look at when he was born. He didn't have a top lip. And he didn't have any nostrils. And his mom and daddy loved him. But when the doctor handed it to him, they were so emotionally distraught over what he looked like that they handed him to me. He wasn't built for looks. But after 7 facial surgeries and them rebuilding a lot of his, making him little nostrils, we take a lot of things for granted, don't we, Brother Joe? He's still got a long way to go. A few teeth he's got on top are up in the roof of his mouth. But you know what he'll do? He'll take that little blue testament right there that he's got his little hands, chubby hands on, and he'll take that, and he's watched me preach long enough. He'll take that and he'll hit that and raise his little foot up. He'll say, now, when I preach, we praise God. You say, y'all brainwashed him. Mm-hmm. Children need brainwashing. Adults need brainwashing. Young people need brainwashing. You know why? Because our brains are dirty. In this flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Anything that's good about you, you give the glory to the Lord. Real quick, when somebody commends you about you doing something, hey, you say, it's not me, it's him. Amen. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You say, preacher, you're preaching like you believe in what you're preaching about. You're looking at somebody that believes exactly what they're preaching this morning. Dad's the responsibility. The buck stops there. When you're doing your job and I'm doing my job, she'll want to do her job and they'll want to do their job. But when it gets out of sync, we labor in vain. Except the Lord build the house. We labor in vain that build it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Preacher, give the invitation.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. We've heard from God's word exactly what we need to hear. We started out talking about the foundation. I want you to know the foundation has to be Christ. This morning, in order for you to be what God wants you to be, you have to have a personal relationship with Him. You have to know, you have to have an understanding, you have to realize that you've trusted Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. And if you're here and you say, "Preacher, that's me. I'm saved. I'm one of God's children. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But I'm telling you, I know that there's been a day in my life where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." Would you lift your hand? God bless you. Thank you for that. So good to see that. You can put your hands down now. Thank you so much. If you're here, you didn't raise your hand right then. But right now you're thinking and you're realizing, I can't even build my life right because I don't have the right foundation. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Oh, I realize that I don't have the ability to do great things or to be some great person or be a preacher or be that right now because I don't even know Christ. But I know I don't want to die without Him. I know I don't want to live my life without knowing that heaven's going to be my home. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't have the peace in my heart about that. But right now I'm going to ask that you'd pray for me. Would there be one that would lift their hand this morning? "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And the Lord's speaking to me about that. I can't even build my life right because I don't have the right foundation. And I'm concerned about it." Would you lift your hand? Would there be one this morning? Most every hand was raised that you're saved. That's wonderful. But are we building our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ, upon His precious Word? How many right now you're thinking the winds are blowing, the storms are coming, and it seems like everything's crumbling? Maybe you've forsaken the foundation. Maybe you're not building upon that foundation. You have Christ. He's there. But the Lord's dealing with you about some things. Maybe you're saying, "I just need to do a better job. I need to be a better husband, a better father. I need to be the leader in my home. I need to be the person at work that others can look to and speak to about their needs, about Christ, about heaven. The Lord's dealing with me." How many would say, "I'm saved, heaven's going to be my home, but God is dealing with me about certain issues that Brother Grubbs preached about this morning"? Would you lift your hand? Would you be honest enough to lift your hand? God bless you. Many of us. I have no doubt that every one of us could probably lift our hands as far as certain issues, but God's dealing with you specifically about things. Others. How many others might need to lift your hand this morning? God's dealing with you about specific things right now. God bless you. Specifically. Specific things. Good. Good. Thank you for your honesty. We have a gracious God, a God that knows everything about us. He knows our abilities. He knows our failures. He knows things that we can do and things we cannot do. But you know what? All He wants us to do is follow Him and build our life on Him. Sometimes that's humbling yourselves and coming and surrendering it to the Lord or asking Him for guidance. Or trust in Him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I'll ask you to quietly stand to your feet and I'm going to have a word of prayer with us. The pianist will begin to play after I pray. And as she begins to play, I'm going to ask that you would move, that you would come. Brother Paul's going to sing a hymn of invitation. And as he sings, would you come? And let's bring these things to God and let's trust the Lord with it. Father, we ask You to have Your will. We pray for these that have lifted their hands this morning. Thank you.